that, Lord, that you have given them words that will be deposited in our children. And I thank you, Father, they have an understanding mind. They have ears to hear. Father, I thank you they are growing and to be mighty men and women for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. And the same thing goes for you because you're just big kids. Say, for me too. For me too. That was our prayer. All righty. Hey, we are doing a series about wisdom in the book of Amen. Amen. We're doing a book of Proverbs all about wisdom. Week one, we talked about what are the Proverbs, and it's all about wisdom. And at the very end, we just touched on, and I hope I got you hungry for this. Otherwise, I'll have to give you the book on this. But the fear of the Lord. What, you know, when you understand, not, oh, no, but, man, this is my Father. I am in awe of him, and I love him so much that I just want to please him. Man, that is wisdom. And the Bible says that's the beginning of wisdom. So that was week one. Week two, we just dug more into what are the Proverbs. It's all about wisdom. Last week, who remembers? Oh, Lord, help them. We talked about, I just realized who y'all are. All right, just one second. We go way back. Yeah, turn around. Hey, you guys. Shofs, yeah. Jeff and, give him first name. All right, back 40 years ago. 40 years ago this year, you're so young. I know, this wasn't gray. Yeah, mine is underneath all of this. Anyway, they're guests here today, but they've been here 40 years ago. Praise God. They moved out west, and they moved back east. Amen. You don't want to be out west right now. They got dumps of snow here. Okay, anyway. Last week, we talked about wisdom for money. Money for wisdom. Wisdom for money. And how many of you know there's some people that just need some wisdom with their money? I was one of those for a long time, okay? So this is what Proverbs will give. I mean, I only had 18 to 20 scriptures that all talked about wisdom with money. So if you know somebody, because you know, why? But if you know somebody, dig into Proverbs, all right? And week one, I gave you the challenge. What was your challenge? Read the book of Proverbs. One chapter every day. How many of you are having fun? Yep. So yesterday, because today's a little busy for me, so last night I sat down, I did 20 and 21, so I'm on the game, all right? Praise God. And I hope you just continue to do that. And one of the things I like about, and I say this all the time, what I like about Proverbs is, yes, I'm going to read a whole chapter myself, but I used to grab one of those things that would just jump out, and as my kids and I were sitting around the dinner table, we just toss it on the table, and we'd start not the whole chapter, but always something so easy in Proverbs that you can discuss with your kids. So have fun with your kids. Amen. Today we are, well, before I tell you what we're going to do today, how many of you have ever said, I hate something? Like, I just hate something. The rest of you are liars. Y'all said that, okay? All right. My kids, a particular child, would say, I hate broccoli. And I was like, no, we don't say that. Matter of fact, that was big in our house. When I read this in Proverbs, this was where we're going, was really big. All right, now, I hate something, but how many of you, do not raise your hand, have ever said, I hate somebody? Good, you didn't raise your hand, okay? So, good, because hate really is a strong language, right? I hate, even if it's I hate something or I hate somebody, but listen to this. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, God has an I hate list. How many read chapter 6? Yeah, God has an I hate list, and we're going to go through the I hate list, all righty? Now, and we're going to break them down, and they're going to help you in life. So when you look at them, I'm hoping, I'm believing, I'm in faith that as you look through these I hate lists, that you'll say, oh, ooh, wow, I think I might struggle with that area. And then just, we're going to start working on it. So we're going to go through the I hate list, y'all, at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, starting in verse 16. Proverbs 6, verse 16. Thank you. Father, I thank you that I have clarity of mind. I thank you, Father, that I am going to stay focused and just in peace speak your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. I got up this morning, I'm like, ah, da, da, da. Just, okay. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things the Lord what? Oh, come on, passion. Hates. Listen to this. Yes, seven, the seventh one, are an abomination to the Lord, okay? Better way of saying this is God hates these six things, but the seventh one is like big, like really hate, like disgust, okay? So let's find out what they are. Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and here's the seventh one, one who sows discord among the brethren. Okay, so if you're taking notes, write this one down. God loves people. Somebody wrote it in the youth board, whiteboard. I went in this morning, and I was like, yeah, they're on the message. So God has a hate list, but God loves people. God has a hate list, but God loves people. God doesn't hate you. God doesn't hate a person, but he hates this list, okay? And God hates them. Well, Pastor D, why does God hate them? Why? Because these things, these seven things, if you are doing them, God hates them because they're going to cause problem in your life. That's why God hates them, and he loves you so much. On the construction sites or around a truck that's parked, they put those orange cones, right? That's so you avoid hitting the car or hitting the ditch or something like that. God's hate list is so you avoid getting yourself in trouble. That's all it is. That's what his list is, all right? Now, I'm going to try to remember, but really I'm going to say this a lot. God doesn't hate people. He just hates these things that people can do. He does it, okay? All right, you ready to take notes? Sure, Pastor D. If anybody wants a yellow card, I only have 17 scriptures. You should write them down. Praise the Lord. Here's the main thing I want you to walk out of here really understanding is that these things that God hates, okay, it's because they'll hurt you. And he loves you so much. That's why he writes them. All right, number one, if you're taking notes, praise the Lord. Let me get number one. A proud look. Number one. Six things that God hates. Number one, a proud look. A better translation says a haughty spirit. Okay, so listen to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21 verse 4. Proverbs 21 verse 4. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the unplowed field of the wicked produces sin. So what's haughtiness? I mean, pretty much, how many of you use that in a conversation today? Probably not. Like, oh, you just were so stinking haughty. You know, okay, so what does haughty mean? Here's my definitions, okay? I pulled them out of a couple things. Haughty actually speaks of pride and arrogance, all right? The attitude that you are superior to others, you overestimate yourself and you underestimate others, all right? You look down at others. Pride, arrogance, right? So haughtiness speaks of pride and arrogance, all right? So what do you think is the opposite of haughtiness? Yes, you can have another cup of coffee today in the back. Okay, humble. So what's humble? What's being humble? Ready? Here we go. It's the feeling or attitude that you have no special importance that makes you better than others, all right? I think humility is one of the most important characteristics that a Christian should have, okay? Versus you're so full of pride. We should be humble towards one another versus so full of pride and arrogance. So turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 12, but Isaiah chapter 14 is probably the best picture in the Bible of what will happen if you get into pride. It's one of the best pictures of what pride will do in your life. Okay, now Isaiah chapter 14, starting in verse 12, is the fall of Lucifer. Now, in case you have not grown up in church, in case you've just gotten your first Bible, in case you've never been downstairs in children's ministry, the devil, aka Lucifer, right? He was the worship leader in heaven. He was the worship leader in heaven. And I can't think of a better job to be the head worship leader in heaven, right? It's better than cleaning toilets, okay? I want to be the head worship leader in heaven. That's who he was. God created him. God created him. And if you tie in Ezekiel, and I forgot what chapter, with Isaiah that we're reading, God says that he created Lucifer with instruments inside him. Instruments inside him. He didn't have to haul all that stuff around. It's just beautiful. I watched all this stuff. Okay, so here he is, the head worship leader, to worship God, to lead the angels, just to worship God. And he's got a problem. Lucifer's got a problem. And he decides to do something. Now, the Lucifer had a free will. But he wasn't supposed to do this. You and I have free wills too. So Lucifer had a free will, and he decided to, like, you know what? I don't think God's the greatest God to work for. You know what? I think I'm better than he is. I think I do a better job. I know I am better, all right? So that's pride, amen? No, don't say an amen. And better yet, I'm sure you don't know anybody like that, right? Sure. Okay, you had Isaiah chapter 14. Here we go. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you have fallen from heaven. He's talking about Lucifer. Oh, Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You who weaken the nations. It's the mess that's going on the earth, okay? Now, for you, he's talking about, verse 13, for you, he's talking about Lucifer. For you have said in your heart. Now, watch how many times he says the word I. Ready? I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. All right. I think the guy's got a problem. It's all about him. It's all about him. Pride, all about him. My kingdom's going to be above your kingdom. I'm like, ooh, buddy. Okay, now. Think about this. If you're a boss, if you're a head of a company, if you lead people, can I tell you that people, because we live in a cursed world, okay, people what might do the same thing to you. You know what? Like, I am better than you. I am going to do things against you. So can I tell you, if this happened to God, this happened to God, people on this earth might just do this to you. All right, don't raise your hand if it's happened to you. So, what are you going to do? We're going to be humble, a humble heart. That's what God's saying when people do that. Amen. So, humility is actually the opposite of haughtiness, and humility is lowering yourself below God. How about this? Humility is like lowering yourself under God's word. It's the word of God I will submit to, all right? That's humility. Everybody say, I submit to the word of God. And in case you haven't noticed where we're living, not just York, across the planet, the culture, and even some Christians that are on the planet right now, they don't believe everything in the word of God is true. So they're not submitting to the word of God. There's a lot of people like that. But listen, if the Bible says it's true, then we're going to say it's true, even if the culture says it's not. And listen, you are supposed to be influencers. Isn't that a thing these days? Right? I know, a little bit. You are supposed to be influencers of the culture. The culture is not supposed to influence, mold you, put you on your behind. All right? Say, I'm an influencer. Amen. Turn over to Micah chapter 8. Micah is one of the lesser prophets because it's got lesser pages. That's what I taught down in children's ministry. So Micah's a prophet. Listen to what he says. Micah 6:8. Ready? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, that means do and live right. Live right, okay? To love mercy. Guess what that means? Show mercy to people. And this one. And to walk humbly with your God. I've seen this, and I'm pretty sure you've seen this. But when we walk out of humility and we start walking in pride, we get to this place where we don't want to hear anybody. When you're not humble, you know, thinking so high and mighty, when you think less and everybody's cool with you, but when you start walking in pride, you stop listening to people around you. You stop listening to wisdom around you. Amen? So if you're taking notes, well, turn over to Proverbs 18, but if you're taking notes, jot this down. When you get into pride, you want to, this scripture is going to just kick you in the rear ends. Ready? When you get into pride, you want to isolate yourself. And when you become an isolated person, you don't allow people to speak to you. I know, that's so much fun. Proverbs 18, listen to what Proverbs says, the book of wisdom. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desires. He rages against all wise judgment. So this means, in other words, somebody's trying to help you. Somebody's trying to give you some good wisdom, just help you, and you're going to fight against this, even to the point of rage. Like, bleh! None of you ever done that. Now, verse 2, listen to Proverbs 18, verse 2. A fool, everybody say a fool, has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. In the series, we are going to talk all about a fool. Now, everybody smile at me. Some of you are fools because you don't know God's wisdom. Not on purpose. Been there and done it. Okay? Okay, so we're going to dig more into this, but for today. All right. Back to Proverbs 18:1. A man or woman who isolates himself seeks his own desires. Okay, so when you isolate yourself, you're saying, I'm good. All by myself, I'm good. I know enough. All right? And the Bible just called you a? Amen. All right. So, guys, we need other people to speak into our life. Occasionally, you might even need me to speak into your life, okay? Because we get off track. And we need other people, wise counsel, wisdom, to get us back on track. So, number one, a proud look. And remember, God doesn't hate you. He hates these things. Number two, if you're taking notes, number two, a lying tongue. I know we can just skip over that because none of you ever do that. All right? But here we go. A lying tongue or lying. Now, believe it or not, Christians lie. All right, I'll tell you a story. Okay. I need a drink. Okay. All right. Ask me what I got for Christmas. A computer. Ask me why. I ran over it. I know, dumb, no wisdom. So I was at Thursday night here youth, and I'm loading up my car with all my stuff from church, and on the passenger side, I always put my laptop, which is in this big squishy case, which is in the little squishy case, all right? And I went to put it in my car, except for Sherry told me to lock our cars because somebody bad was in the neighborhood, and I never lock anything. I'll give you the code to get into my house. It doesn't matter. Okay, so I go to put this in my car, and I put it on the ground. And then I can't open this, so I go back into the church, and I start talking to all the youth group. And then I go to the bathroom. Then I get my purse. Then I unlock my car on the driver's side, right? And I wrote, yep. So my son-in-law, not this one, the other one, the California one, bought me this laptop. So I call him up, and I go, hey, do you think you can get me a new screen? And he's like, sure, D, give me the, he's texting because it's California and we're back and stuff. And he says, well, give me what are the numbers on the back, you know, whatever you call those, serials numbers. So I text him back and forth, and he says, you know what, D, it'd just be simpler if we just get you a new one. So that's what I got for Christmas. Okay. My daughter, who lives with my son-in-law in California, hears about this, calls me up a couple hours later, and she goes, what did you do? I wanted to lie. So don't tell me you don't lie. I really did, except for I've been preparing this message for months, so I had to tell her. Okay. Praise the Lord. Just thought you needed that. So Christians lie. You know why we lie? We don't want to tell the truth in an area. I was this close. Okay. but I've been studying Proverbs. Proverbs 12, here we go. Proverbs 12, verse 19. Truthful lips, those that don't lie, truthful lips shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. No grave trouble will overtake the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil. Now watch this. This is where we're going. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Now wait a minute. What was number seven of the things God hates? Number seven is an abomination. Well, this one goes in the category. That means God hates that. I'm so glad I didn't lie. All right. Have you ever heard somebody say, what you don't know won't hurt you? I'm going to say it again. Raise your hand. Don't raise your hand if you ever said it. What you don't know, when I was a kid, what you don't know won't hurt you. But you know what you're actually doing? You're actually saying lying is fine if you can get away with it. Yeah. Now, when I was a kid, we didn't say that. But the more I've been studying this, lying is okay as long as you can get away with it. You don't get caught. It's this close, not telling. So, this is what you have to remember. As a believer, as a person that has received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, guess what? You now, and you have to be aware of this, and I was aware of this, that you now have living inside of you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit talks to your human spirit. He's given you life, okay? And the Holy Spirit was going, don't lie! And I was like, I wrestled. I really did because okay. So don't lie. So why do people lie? Because it makes you feel good for a moment. But you know what I've seen about liars? Then there's another lie on top of the other lie on top of the other lie. All right. So it's a slippery slope. So I told the truth. And my daughter said, what? Okay. What? So we want to tell the truth. All right. Because when we do these things that God hates, they hurt us and they do hurt others. They will hurt us and they hurt others. So I don't want to do this, all right? This is a shouter. Hallelujah. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. Turn over to Psalm chapter 15. Psalm chapter 15, verse 1. Oh, this is a good one. I've had so much fun in Proverbs. Oh, this is Psalms. Sorry about that. Psalms. So it's a whole book in front of Proverbs. Okay, Psalms. I have fun in Psalms, okay. Psalms, here we go. 15, verse 1. O Lord, who may lodge as a guest in your tent? Or who can go into the presence of the Lord? Who can camp in the temple, okay? O Lord, who may lodge as a guest in your tent? Who may dwell continually in your holy hill? And he says, he who walks in integrity and strength of character, works righteousness and speaks and holds truth in his heart. So guess what God likes? People of integrity, people who speak the truth, people who have godly character. That's what God likes. Everybody say, that's what God likes. He likes that, all right? Now, listen to verse 3. He who does not slander with his tongue, gossip, or does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up reproach against his friends, in his eyes, and this is God, in God's eyes, an evil person is despised. Woo! But he honors those who fear the Lord and obediently worship him in awe and inspired reverence and submission to wonder. This is the Amplified. There's a lot of words there, okay? But listen, this is what I want to get to. He keeps his word even to his own disadvantage and does not change it for his own benefit. Another way of saying that, he keeps his word even if it hurts. How many of you have ever done this? Just Pastor D, right? Somebody asks you to do something or go something or whatever something, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And then as soon as they walk out of the room, you're like, oh, my gosh, why did I commit to do that? Why did I say I was going to help Susie Q move her things and da-da-da-da-da, okay? All right, so anybody ever do that? Just go, why did I do that? Yeah, praise the Lord. Well, we've all done it, all right? Now, he's saying right here, it's better to keep your word and be truthful than to change your word. Matter of fact, and does not change for his own benefit, okay? So when you give your word, real simple, keep your word. When you give your word, be truthful. By the way, be truthful. If they ask you, you can say no instead of saying, oh, sure, okay? But be truthful. Amen. All righty, so none of you have ever done this. So we're just going to talk about other people. We're allowed to do this right here. But I've seen Christians, none of you, okay? And instead of being truthful, you know, about what they're going to do, what they're going to say and do, and honest, this is what they say. You know, I just feel like the Lord is leading me now in a different direction. Can I say something to you? And I don't mean to be mean or strong. Don't do that. Oh, my God. You know, here you have given your word, and now you're like, well, you know, I really feel like God is calling me something else. God has just changed his mind, and so I'm not going to do that. Okay? You know what you're really doing? You're just making an excuse. Right? Just an excuse, okay? Listen, by the way, he knows you're lying. He knows, okay? So, and listen, and week number one, if you start to understand the fear of the Lord, that I don't want to displease him in anything, you're not going to go, well, you know, I just feel like now God is calling to me to move somewhere else. Knock it off, okay? Okay, moving on. I got a drink here. By the way, you are influencers wherever you go. Do not do this on your job and with other people. Amen. Okay, moving on. Proud look, lying tongue. Here's number three, hatred. And it really means hands that shed innocent blood, okay? When you read that out of the Hebrew, it means someone who kills a person for no reason. So, that's what it means, okay? Now, I know you all know that's wrong. Everybody say, Pastor D, we know that's wrong. It's not wrong, right? Okay. But did you know that the first, in the Bible, the first murder was in the Bible? Cain and Abel, right? Adam's two kids. One kills the other one. Okay, but we know murder's wrong, okay? Now, so everybody say, I know murder's wrong. Now, I'm going to give you a New Testament scripture that just takes it up to the level where you go, ouch. So you ready to say ouch? 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Here we go. Little bit different. So murder is wrong. You all know that. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Everyone, everybody say everyone. Okay. Does that include you? Yeah. Okay. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. God, why did you have to put that in your Bible? Okay? So, okay, fun story. One time, one of my kids was making this big Lego tower for like a month, and one of his sisters got mad and came in and kicked that thing. Let me tell you, it was a little loud in my house. And the kid who made the tower yells, I hate you! And grabbed them by the back of the neck. And the one that kicked it, and we had a big discussion. We don't hate, okay? Because I knew this scripture. All righty. And then, by the way, that was a little kid. Wait till they're teenagers. Sorry, Emma. I hate you. You won't let me do this. I'm so mature. Bam, 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 bam. Okay. So, isn't it wonderful having children? It's just wonderful. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we know we don't hate. And hate, okay, but listen, some of you are thinking, Pastor D, I don't use the word hate. I say I greatly dislike, but I don't hate. You would have been grabbed by the back of the neck at my house, okay? So I'm going to read that again, the full thing out of Amplified. Everyone who hates works against his brother in Christ, Christians, and is at heart a murderer by God's standard. And you know no murderers has eternal life abiding him. Okay. Wah, I didn't kill anybody, right? I didn't shoot anybody. But this says, if you hate your brother, your little sister, okay? If you hate someone, you're like a murderer, okay? Amen. Yeah. God never made it that we as Christians, brothers and sisters, church, this side, that side, we never hate, all right? We never hate. So here we go. Number one, proud look. Number two, a lying tongue. Number three, hatred, hands that shed innocent blood. Number four, plotting evil, or a heart that divides wicked plans. Okay, so what's plotting evil? It just paints a picture of someone who's always just plotting against somebody innocent. They're just always, okay? So listen to Proverbs 10, Proverbs 10, 23. This is a person who's always plotting something against someone who's innocent. Proverbs 10, 23. Engaging in evil is like a sport to the fool who refuses wisdom and chases sin. But to a man of understanding, wisdom, skillful knowledge, okay, brings joy. And then Proverbs 24, verse 2. Proverbs 24, verse 2. They're similar. For their minds, talking the evil, plot violence, and their lips talk trouble for the innocent. Okay. I'm pretty sure none of you do this, right? But listen to this. God doesn't want us planning, plotting evil for innocent. But I'm going to take it up a notch. God doesn't want us planning, plotting evil for those that are not innocent. Like, my kid was ready to go after the other kid and do some things, okay? God doesn't want us, because everybody knows this, the love of God, love covers a multitude of sin, okay? Love covers. So God doesn't want us plotting evil for innocent, but he definitely doesn't want us plotting evil for someone who is not innocent. Like, we are going to expose them. We're going after their favorites, whatever, all right? Love covers a multitude. So, don't raise your hand. Have you ever had somebody do evil something to you? Right? So, when I don't want to get my flesh in the flesh, okay, this is what I learned. Vengeance is mine. God is the God of vindicators. So, they may have done you dirty, trash talked to you, just said and done, da, 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 okay? And this is how I go to bed at night. God, you are the vindicator, and you will take care of me. So, everybody say, he's a vindicator? He's going to take care of me. So, all right, number one, things God hates. Number one, proud look. Number two, lying tongues. Number three, hatred. Hands that shed in his blood. Number four, plotting evil. Number five, evil feet. Or feet that are swift to run to evil. I don't know if you know some people like that. They were Jack's friends. No. This one in particular, before Jack met Jesus, and then I met them, and I was like, he's just always running to do wrong things. Like wrong, okay? So what do you do when you have people like that? Pray for them. Yeah, pray for them. Okay, but listen to Proverbs 4, verse 16. For the wicked, Proverbs 4, verse 16. For the wicked cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are deprived of sleep unless they make someone stumble or fall. I don't know what keeps you up at night, okay? But these guys can't sleep because their brain, They're just trying to figure out how they can do evil, how they can hurt somebody, how they can be malicious to somebody, okay? Now, how about I'm a believer, okay? Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and then I have done a lot of plotting and evil in my life. Don't raise your hand. What about that? Well, let me tell you something. The worst of the worst, God offered grace and mercy. And y'all have been given grace and mercy. And, you know, this was with my brother. My brother had lived a horrific life. Like, I didn't even want to know. And Phil and Jack and I think Dan had my brother cornered, on the porch. And he was just a broken guy. He had been into drugs and la, 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 la. And he just moved from Thailand, so la, 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 la. And he's just broken, and he's going, and they're presenting the gospel. Jesus loves you. He offers you grace and mercy. And he just wept, you don't know what I've done. And you know what we all said? Grace and mercy for the worst of the worst. And all you have to do is receive. You don't have to do anything. And it took just repeating that. And finally, my brother said, fine, I will receive grace and mercy. I was like, amen. So praise the Lord, grace and mercy. So no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God offers grace and mercy. Whether there's a multitude of sin, grace abounds more. Number six of things that God hates. Ready? A false witness or a witness who speaks lies. Proverbs 12. A false witness or a witness who speaks lies. Proverbs 12, 17. He who speaks truth when testifies tells what's right. Yay! But a false witness utters deceit in court. And it really should read, a false witness in court. This is talking about court. So listen, never, never are we telling lies to one to another, being deceitful. But this is referring to if you, anybody ever get called to be in the court to do jury duty? I dodged it once. You know that day's coming, okay? You get called to be in there and you get asked to testify. Guess what? No matter what, you tell the truth, right? Real simple. Tell the truth. Everybody say tell the truth. Be honest. All right. Moving along. Oh, yeah. How about Proverbs 17? Got to give you one more there. Proverbs 17, verse 4. Proverbs 17, verse 4. This is good. Evildoers listen closely to the wicked lips. So they're listening to the wrong bunch. Evildoers are listening to the wrong bunch, okay? And a liar pays attention to the wrong bunch, to a destructive and malicious tongue, all right? So let me ask you a question. Do not raise your hand. Who do you have in your life that speaks into your life that is, their words are hurting you and not helping you? Okay? Who do you surround yourself that you're listening to? And this could be this too, y'all. Okay? But who do you surround yourself that you're listening to that they're it's bad what they're putting in your head? All right? So you might just have to say, you know what? I am going to separate myself from this person or this, all right? Praise God. All right, last one. Everybody say last one. By the way, oh no, don't go there. Pastor D, stay focused. Okay, last one. The seventh thing that God hates that he says is an abomination. Okay, seven. Here we go. Before I give it to you, because you could all read it too. The more I studied this, and I was reading the list, And the more I thought about walking with the Lord for a long, long time, I thought, I've seen this. This is bad. And this is why God calls it an abomination. Number seven. Happy day. Here we go, Pastor D. So, number seven, ready? Sowing discord, or one who sows discord among the brethren. Okay. This side, you're the brethren. This side, you're the brethren. This side, you're the brethren, okay? Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, okay? One who sows discord, all right? God hates that, all right? All right. Sowing discord, to stir strife among people, to sow division among people. Well, Pastor D, I feel like God's given me that gift. No way, Jose. God did not give you a gift to get in the middle of people and sow division and strife. Smile. Okay. Read Proverbs 6. Okay, we started with this. Proverbs 6, 19. A false witness who breathes out lies, even half-truths. What do we call that, a white lie? No, it's a lie. And one who spreads discord, rumors, strife among the brethren. Okay? So you know what that tells me? God wants you to be a peacemaker. Everybody say, I'm a peacemaker. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that on the Sermon on the Mount. Be a peacemaker, okay? Well, Pastor D, I just feel like I got this fight in me all the time and I got to get in the middle of everything. Go buy one of those big bags, punching bags, hang it down your basement and just go at it, okay? We are to love people and we are not to stir up strife. Amen? All right, so I just gave you all Old Testament. I want to move into the New Testament about what Paul says. So open up to Romans chapter 16, all right? This is Paul. This is New Testament. It's similar. Here we go. Romans chapter 16, verse 7. Now I make one more appeal. Like, it's like when you're going to leave your kids with a babysitter. I don't know about you, but I'm like, don't forget this to the babysitter. Don't forget that. This is Paul. He's getting ready to move, and he's going, I have one more thing to tell you. Pay attention, all right? Okay, now I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. He's talking to who? Christians, okay? Now I make one more appeal, my dear Christians, brothers and sisters. Watch out for or keep an eye on people who cause what? Division, strife, discord, dissension, all those words, okay? And upset people's faith by teaching things that are contrary to what you've been taught, or cause people to commit sin. They're teaching things that are causing people to commit sin, okay? And then what does he say? Stay away from them. Turn away from them, all right? Now, if we all did this to every single person that we didn't agree with, that's not what he's talking about. You're going to run into, I don't agree with that. So he's not talking about it. So here's what he's saying. There are people that can, because we are smarter than the fifth grader, but there are people that can lead you down a bad path to sin. And he says, you know what your responsibility is? Just turn away. Just move away from them. Real simple, okay? And then you don't have to tell everybody, because you know when we know that you have been telling me all these things, and I know that that's not good. I want to tell everybody, so you don't do that. Be mature. Don't tell everybody, okay? Pray for everybody. But listen, just allow yourself to, I'm going to turn away from division, discord, and teachings that are against what Paul taught. All right, verse 18. Y'all get it? Verse 18, such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interests. My flesh! That's what they're serving. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. And one translation says the naive. So you know what we're going to do? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you won't be naive. Yeah. You know, don't get sucked into things, and it's easy. I could tell you when I first got saved, sucked into some silly, ridiculous things. But, you know, the more I grew in the Word of God, I'm like, okay, all right. Now, Paul says something else that just kind of, it's just you're going to go, oh, Pastor D, don't say that. But listen to this. Titus is after Timothy, New Testament after Timothy. Okay, it's really interesting. Titus chapter 3, verse 9 through 6. Titus chapter 3. But avoid foolish and ill-formed and, I love when I get to say stupid. Stupid controversies and genealogies. They were like tribal traditions, okay? And stay away from that, okay? Avoid. And the other one is dissensions. Oh, division, strife, right? And quarreling, fighting about the law. For they are what? They're unprofitable and useless, okay? After a first and second warning to the person that's doing that. So you don't go talking about them behind their back. You know, I can't believe this. You go to them and you talk to them, all right? Not with everybody. You just sit down and say, hey, you know, the Bible says, da-da-da-da-da, okay? So after the first and second talking, warning, reject a divisive man who promotes heresy and causes dissension, and ban him from your fellowship and have nothing more to do with him, okay? So if somebody walked in and said, hey, Pastor, I'm here today. I got banned from the church down the road. You, smart in the fifth grader, I was like, excuse me? Well, what did you do? Why? Okay? So nobody has ever done that, but that's what it means, okay? So that's what he's talking about. Verse 11, well aware that such a person is twisted and is sinning, and he is convicted and self-condemned and is gratified by causing, everybody say confusion. Confusion to believers, okay? The world is the most confused place ever. It is just so confusing out there. They're just been, okay? We don't need Christians causing confusion, all right? Okay, we need people of love. We need people of peace. We need people to help reconcile. We need people just to be loving, okay? Okay, not people that cause confusion. Strife, discord, we'll do that, all right? Okay, the world's got enough of that. Now, last scripture, James chapter 3. James chapter 3. That was only 17 scriptures. I beat it last week. Don't you love the word of God? When you say, when you can go, God, this is your word to me. I love it. You have just entered to the awe of God. Amen. Just side note. Okay, stay focused, Pastor D. Oh, we're doing good. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 16. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 16. Ready? For where there is envy and strife, there is confusion. I don't like confusion. You know, another disharmony, disorder, unrest. So where there's envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. If you're tooting your horn that I've got this wisdom, but behind you is envy and strife, okay? Well, this is wisdom, and this is envy and strife. Can I be crude? That's like a fart in the room, okay? You're going, I have wisdom, but turn around and smell this, okay? So you're saying I know, Pastor Sherry's worse. You should see something. She hangs with you. Okay, so I'm tooting my horn that I have envy and behind me really is envy and strife. I've got all this wisdom, but this is what's following me, okay? That isn't the wisdom of God. That's from the devil, okay? And when you start doing that and you have envy and strife and discord and dissension, okay, the devil comes in and the peace of God goes out the door. And confusion takes over. Yeah, okay. So confusion comes in when you are against God's word. When you live in strife, confusion comes in. When you live in dissension, that's such a big word today, division, confusion comes in. When you live in, you are angry at everybody, opposing everybody, confusion comes in. It's a big fart in the room, right? So don't do that. Amen. God doesn't like that type of person. Right? Amen. Guess what we're supposed to be? Peacemakers. All right, so I want to close up. Think about 1 through 7. 1 through 7. Just maybe one of those you're like, ooh, man, kind of struggling with that. Typically, some other people, right? Pride, humility. Those are things we have to work on, all right? So I want to give you 2 things to do so you can stop it. Real simple. You can write them down. 2 things so you can stop doing the things that God hates. Number one, real simple. 2 things to do that can stop it. Number one, why? This is why I'm going to stop. It hurts you, and it hurts others. You mess in those 7 things. It does hurt you, and it does hurt others, okay? And we're talking about wisdom, the book of Proverbs, the manual for living, and this is wisdom. Stop, all right? Because it'll hurt you, and it'll hurt others. And some of them, they just multiply, all right? So we don't want to do that. Here's the last one. It's probably the best. Ready? So one is stop doing it because it hurts you and it hurts others. Number two, God hates it. Real simple. So now you have ammunition for your kids. God hates that. No, for yourself. Ready? All right. So let me say this. If you really love somebody, you love somebody, like husbands, you really love your wife, or a wife, you really love your husband, you are going to do everything to please them, right? So I love the Lord. I'm going to do everything to please him, especially the things he hates. Amen. So bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm just going to let you know, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Sometimes, you know, it's really funny. Keep your eyes closed. Go. Sometimes people say, Pastor D, that was so good when you said this. And I'm like, I never said that. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. So I'm asking you, what did the Holy Spirit speak to you that you might have to make some adjustments, that you should? Because God hates it. I want to make some adjustments in my life. All right, so what is it? And just, you know, you and the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to be quiet for a minute. Yeah. And, you know, if the Holy Spirit taps you and says, you know, that little scratchy on the inside, he's like, you know, D, yeah, you know. And you just say, Lord, I repent. All right, I'm going to turn from that. I'm going to get back into pleasing you. That's all you have to do. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. I thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for loving us. Praise God. Thank you. Lord, I'm so glad you wrote down what you hate. I'm so glad you wrote down what wisdom is. And I thank you, Father, I'm going to be a wise person. Follow wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. All right, one more thing. Nobody move, because that's wisdom. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Really important, probably the most important thing. We were singing, I think it was the second to the last song, about God does miracles. And I remember years ago, this is before some of you were even born, in church singing, he does miracles so beautiful. And I was like, God, you've never done a miracle for me. And he arrested my attention. He says, I brought you into my family. That's a miracle. I washed your sins away. I made you beautiful, holy, righteous, blameless. That is a miracle. That is a miracle. Some of you are like, yeah, that is a miracle. Okay? Amen. That's a miracle. So my question is, have you ever asked Jesus to come into your life? Now, I'm really asking, do you have a relationship with Jesus? All right? Those that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So have you ever called on the name of the Lord? Jesus, man, I need you. Come into my life. All right? Now, I know a good bunch of y'all, but I'm going to ask anyway. If there's anybody here that you'd say, Pastor D, I have never done that. This is like, whoa, new. Well, today's a great day. Today's the day of salvation. Today's a great day to call on the name of the Lord, and you can be a part of his family forever. So if that's you and you would like to come into the family of God, just receive that. I'm going to pray with you at the end. But here's my second one, because this happens. You know, we don't ever plan on that. Maybe you prayed in one time. Maybe you're little, or I always say youth camp's a great place to meet Jesus. But you prayed and you asked Jesus to come into your life, and then life got cluttered. And you just kind of move Jesus. By the way, he doesn't move, but we move Jesus, I always say, to the end of the property in the big shed, all right? If that's you and you're just far from God, today's a good day just to say, hey, Jesus, I am ready to fully commit. Come on back. So I would like to pray with everybody. If anybody's here that would say, Jesus, I need you. I want you. You're a good, good God. So much wisdom. I need you in my life. Or you're here and you'd say, Pastor D, I'm ready to come back. So everybody, say this with me. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I now know that I'm a sinner and I'm separated from you. And I want to come and be with you. I want to receive Jesus. So Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Come into my life. Make me a new creature. I ask that and I thank you now for my new life. I'm a child of God. Heaven's my forever. And this is part of my big family. Amen. Amen. Thank you. If you prayed that for the first time, man, we are celebrating. We are happy. And the Bible says heaven is just going, wow, wonderful, wonderful. And if you prayed that to come back, I'm going, wow, wonderful, wonderful, because it is wonderful to walk with the Lord. So, hey, y'all stand up. Thank you. Don't forget, next week is potluck. Bring your crock pots downstairs. And if you don't know what to make, I'll give you some ideas. Okay, real easy. Easy stuff. Or you can go to Giants, right? So, Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you, Father, for they love you so much that, Father, we send them forth to be a light, to be influencers, to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey.